I will glory in the cross. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Appreciate the music this morning. My wife is the one in yellow, just to let everybody know. So every once in a while, might let me know that's my wife singing. She does a great job. Appreciate my wife very much. Good to see Brother John McCullum this morning. And we've been praying for him and still praying for him as he continues to recover. And got several others on our list we're praying for. 2 Kings chapter 5. Some of you will remember the story of Naaman, who was the captain of the Syrian army. Naaman, being the captain of the Syrian army, this position that he had, made him, in our day and age, we'd call him the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In other words, he was the general of generals. He was in charge of the entire Syrian army. The Bible says here, look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrian had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land, and Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 charges of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when the letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, unto thee, that thou mayest recover him from leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" So just kind of in your mind, think about, here he is. He's in Syria. He's north of Israel. And the captain comes down to Israel, comes before the king of Israel, and the king of Israel's like, "How am I to recover you from leprosy? Am I God?" He says there, "Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." The king began to say, "You're just trying to start a war between us." Verse 8, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." Verse 13, "And this his servant came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?' Then went he down." So Naaman went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. He wouldn't take the gold and the silver and the raiment. Verse 17, "And Naaman said, 'Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened over the earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon the servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaned on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon," that's a false god, "the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little while. Long story, short sermon. Just kidding. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we have again to come and to open your word. I pray this morning the message will be very clear, very precise. Lord, help me to say exactly what you'd want me to say. Well, thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army. He was the captain, the man in charge. He was well favored by the king. You can see all this in verse 1. He was a man honorable. That means he was a man of good character. He was respected by those around him. He was also a deliverer. He had rescued the nation of Syria from the Assyrians. Notice it says there, verse 5, the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, the Bible says, and describes him as a man of skill, a soldier of skill. In other words, he didn't attain the position he had by political means. He gained it by being a great soldier, a skilled soldier, a mighty man of valor, one who had won many victories. He earned his position. But notice there at the verse 1 at the very end of the verse, it says, but he was a leper. I haven't said this in a while, but when the Word of God in the King James Bible puts italics, it means the translators inserted it. So kind of look there, it says, but he was, that's been inserted by the translators. So if it wasn't for them putting those words in there, it would be Syria, notice what it would say. It would say, he was a mighty man of valor, a leper. Notice how more, just kind of more definite that is. And in the Hebrew, it is more definite. It's more pronounced. In other words, here, the writing is trying to say, here are all the great things the captain was, but he's a leper. It's almost like, and it is like this, it's almost like him having leprosy far outweighs everything that he had accomplished. In fact, his own servants wouldn't want to trade places with him. Even though all the fame and all the victories he had and the man of character and all the things, not one servant of Naaman would want to switch places with him. He was a leper. A leper. Now in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of the effects of sin and how sin affects us. What does leprosy do? Leprosy defiles a person. It defiles a person. It defiles them. And sin makes us unholy. Sin makes us miserable. Sooner or later, it'll make you miserable. All sin does. We're one of those churches that still uses the sin word, so. Sin makes us guilty before God. The Bible says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And it displays and illustrates for us that the lepers would take rags and cover their sores. And when the rag got completely soaked with that putrefying pus, nasty stuff, they'd take those rags off and they would make a fire and they would burn them. In other words, the rags were fit only for the fire. So leprosy defiles. Leprosy isolates. And someone who had leprosy would be isolated from the community. They would be outside the community. In fact, in Israel, you would actually have leper colonies. And the lepers would all dwell together because they did not want them to be a part of the community, because then they would defile the community. Others would catch leprosy. Leprosy spreads. Leprosy spreads, and so can sin. Leprosy is deeper in the skin than just the top of the skin. It's under the skin. Leprosy is deadly. There's no cure. At least in this day, there's no cure. There's still no cure today. But they can treat it today and prolong your life, but it'll still eventually get you. Leprosy. Leprosy deadens, and a leprosy would get on a person's hand, for instance, and began to, eat away at it. But as it ate away at it, the leprosy would make the hand numb. And that's why you hear stories of lepers, rats coming and eating their... Y'all love this? This is awesome, isn't it? Leprosy, they come and eat their toes off or something, and the person with leprosy can't even feel it. It numbs the limbs of the body. Again, we think about sin as sin affects our heart and hardens our heart. You think about someone who could actually commit a murder and how hard their heart has to be. Sin affects us. Leprosy affected Naaman. Naaman, who was captain. Naaman, who had reached the pinnacle of military prowess. I mean, Naaman, and yet it says a leper. Naaman was in a hopeless state. Naaman was in search of a cure. By the way, the world is searching for a cure for sin. We have the cure. Naaman was in a hopeless state. But yet, we see a little maid, a little girl. This little girl would have been 10 or 12 years old, probably. And she was a slave. She'd been taken out of Israel and a slave there in Syria to Naaman's wife. And the little girl told Naaman's wife about Elisha. There's a prophet down in Israel who can heal my master. A slave girl's testimony. Well, we ought to be a testimony, shouldn't we? Remind people there is a cure for sin. There is a cure for the effects of sin. That life is not hopeless. That there is hope. And Naaman had hope. Can I also just, Christians here this morning, remind you, don't ever underestimate your testimony. Here's a little girl who everyone would ignore and, you know, go around, and yet her testimony saved the captain's life. Naaman had hope, and then therefore he sought that hope. We see this in verse 4 through 10, and he went out and told his king. This would have been the king of Assyria, whose name was Ben-Hadad. And he told the king, and I love the king's response. He's like, yeah, go down to Israel, get it done, get healed. He was very adamant about it. That's pretty awesome. It says a lot about Naaman that the king would want his life spared. You know, a lot of times, especially in this time period, a lot of times the kings were jealous of the captains and the people that were over the armies. Because usually it was the captain of the armies that usually turned around and killed the kings and took over. And so it's just a great testimony that Naaman had. And so the king was excited to send him down to Israel, gave him papers to give to the king of Israel. So there we see that Naaman arrives, and he brought with him gold and silver. He brought 750 pieces of silver and 150 pieces of gold and all these changes of clothes and this fine linen and raiment. He brought gifts. He brought payment. Whoever was going to heal him, if Elijah was going to heal him, he brought payment for him. Can I tell you that sin, being cleansed from sin, is free? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. I'm glad salvation's free. It's free. Naaman comes to the king's palace in Israel. His name was Jerome. He was the king of Israel. Now remember, Israel did not have any good kings. So Jerome was a bad king. He was an ungodly king. But understand that Jerome knew who Elisha was. And when Naaman came to the king, Jerome, and said to him, hey, I've come down here to be healed of my leprosy. And Jerome was like, who do you think I am? Am I God that I can heal you of leprosy? And he rent his clothes and he was scared. He was scared for his life. He said, you just come down here to start a war with us. See, the Syrians and the Israelites were enemies. But thank the Lord for the prophet. The prophet sent word to the king. Said, hey, don't worry about it. Send him down to me. That's my summarization and interpretation of it. When the king of Israel should have taken the opportunity to be a witness to this Syrian captain, instead he lost his witness by rending his clothes and saying, who am I? Listen, we ought to always take the opportunity to be a witness. Amen? But Elisha came. Elisha gave him the simple cure. It was a simple cure. In verse 10 he says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Notice he sent a messenger to him and said, listen, go wash in the river Jordan, which was about 32 miles from his house, and thou shalt be clean. Didn't ask for the pieces of silver. Didn't ask for the gold. Didn't ask for the raiment. Didn't ask him to do some difficult task. Simple, simple task. Just go dip yourself 7 times in the river Jordan. Simple. By the way, the cure for sin is simple. It is simple. And it is by putting our faith and trust in the Lord that we are cured from the effects of sin. Not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. What a blessing to have your sins forgiven. What a blessing to have your slate clean. What a blessing to be able to come before God pure and holy by putting your faith and trust in Him. It's by coming to God and repenting of your sins and saying, Lord, I have a change of mind about my sin. I have a change of mind about my life. and I want to put my faith and trust in your Son. Listen, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. The Son of God came 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time did Jesus have a sinful thought. Never one time did he perform a sinful deed, but he lived a perfect life. And yet, he died on the cross for us. Not for crimes he had done, not for sins he had committed, because he had no sin. He who had no sin, God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen this morning, God sent his only begotten Son. Why? Because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusts in him have everlasting life. Amen. Sin's forgiveness is simple. It's simply repenting of your sins, acknowledging your sins, and coming to Christ and say, Lord, I believe you lived, I believe you died, and I believe you rose again the third day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Listen, it's a matter of coming to Christ. We think about faith. Faith and trust are almost synonyms. It's putting and saying to the Lord, I'm not putting my faith and trust in being a Baptist. Amen. I'm not putting my faith and trust in being a Catholic. I'm not putting my faith or trust in being a good person. I'm not putting my faith and trust in being baptized. I'm putting my faith and trust in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. See, if joining a church would get you saved and have your sins forgiven, that would be earning it. But it's given. If being a member of a certain church would save you, then that would be earning it. But it's a free gift. The cure for sin is simple. It's a gift. By the way, but it came at a cost. It came at a cost of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, his life. And thank the Lord he rose again. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foes, he arose up a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He lives today, he lives today. He rose from the dead. Sin's cure is simple. Notice verse 11 through 7, we see Naaman's pride. Naaman's pride. Says that Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. Listen, this is the captain of the Syrian army. I mean, he is the man. And yet this Elisha, the prophet, didn't even come out of his house and talk to him. Did not even come out the door and say, hey, man, you're the Syrian captain. Woo, that's awesome. No, he sent a messenger out to him. Sent one of his underlings out to him. Sent one of his servants out to the captain of the Syrian army. Didn't even come to him face to face. And said to him, listen, go down to the River Jordan, 32 miles, about a day's journey, and wash yourself 7 times, and you'll be clean. Well, that ticked him off. It ticked Naaman off. He was mad. Didn't even come out to me. He said, I surely thought he would come out and make a big deal and call down, you know, call upon his God and touch the place where the leprosy's at and all those things. Surely he would come. And the Bible says he left mad. Left mad. He was prideful. He couldn't see how it could be so simple. Couldn't see how it could be that easy. Surely he'd come out and call on the Lord, and surely he'd come out and do it this way. Listen, Naaman said he should have done it my way. Listen, God doesn't do it our way. God's ways are not our ways. Jesus Christ said himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Salvation, having our sins forgiven, is found through the person of Jesus Christ. He said it himself. Christian, this morning, I don't know what you may be facing. Maybe you're facing some trial or circumstance in your life. Maybe it's a health issue, a financial problem. Maybe it's a relational issue with children or whatever it may be. Can I just tell you, sometimes we kind of get in our own minds that this should be the fix. And we pattern and we say, this is how the Lord should do it. But listen, His ways are not our ways. Listen, I'm thankful that God has said that He'll not put us through more than we can take. And He's always got His hand on the thermostat. Yeah, the heat gets hot sometimes. But remember, God always has His hand on the thermostat. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what trial or testing you may be going through, I just want to remind you, His ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out, the Bible says. But I can tell you this, He always comes through. He always comes through. It may not just be the way you think He's going to come through. I don't know how many times in this church, in years past especially, that we were broke. We were broke. Nothing. I mean, we come down to the end of the week. There's not money there. And I on Sunday, I'd pray on Saturday, Lord, as I'm putting my message together, Lord, you know, provide the money we need to pay staff this next week. Provide this. And it's amazed me over the years. And I always in my mind, I'll think about the people in the church who have the ability to do it. I know that's not, preachers shouldn't do that, but they do. And these are the people who can do it, Lord, you know. I'm always telling myself, don't I? I'm just a self-confessor. But it's amazing how many times, more often than not, God uses some way else, someone else. It's amazing to me. Somebody cashed in this, or somebody did that, and all of a sudden, God provides. By the way, He's always provided for us. And God will provide for you. It just may not be the person you think it is. You know, some of you young couples, and I know I've been in this position before, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe my dad will help, you know, help me out, or whatever the case is. And you know what, it may not be your parents that get you. May not be your parents that bail you out. God will use some form and some way to help you. What a great and mighty God we serve. But understand, His ways are not our ways. His remedy may not be our remedy. And again, Naaman didn't like the way in which the prophet Elisha's remedy was. He wanted some big thing, some display of God's power. Maybe fire come down from heaven or something. He wanted this to happen. But notice what verse 13 says. And his servant came near and spake unto him, saying, My father. And there's an indication here that this might be Naaman's son, maybe. If the prophet had bid thee to do great things, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he say to thee, Wash and be clean? The servant just simply said, hey, if he'd have asked you to do something big, you'd have done it. You'd have given your life. You would have done anything you could to be healed. All he asked you to do was just go wash in the river. Kind of like shaking him and said, you know what? You're too prideful. God's going to do it His way. God will do it His way. We see the servant's plea. See, so many people want to make salvation hard. Some people want to make gaining favor with God hard. It's not hard. It's by simple trusting in Him. Well, how can it be that simple, preacher? How can it be simply just calling on the name of the Lord? How can it be that simple? Because Christ did all the work for us. He died for us. He was buried and rose again. The cure is simple. In verse 14, we see that he went down and dipped in the River Jordan and he was cured. Can you imagine as he came up out of that river? By the way, he said the River Jordan's dirty and blah, blah, blah. As he came out of that dirty Jordan River, can you just imagine? He looks and it's gone. After the seventh time, it's gone. And the Bible even says that his skin was like a baby's skin. The cure was complete. The cure was real. Leprosy was gone. Can you just imagine? I'm glad when I was 6 years old that I knelt in my pastor's office and accepted Christ as my Savior. As I stood up in my pastor's office after accepting Christ, my sins were gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. That's pretty far. In the sea, as the choir sang this morning, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I think when Naaman came up out of the water that seventh time, I think he was like, woo-hoo! Yeah! And I think he did laps, because that's what I'd have done. My ADD would have been like totally short-circuiting, and I would have just, He was, no doubt he was ecstatic. Sometimes Christians, we look like we ate lemons or something, and we forgot that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? I mean, our sins are forgiven. We've escaped hell. We have a home in heaven. It's awesome. Amen. Somebody jump a chair. Baptists don't do that, Brother Frank. Don't do that. Don't jump a chair. He was excited, no doubt. fact, so excited, he went back to the prophet Elisha and said, "What can I do for you? Let me give you the stuff. Here's some gold and here's some silver and here's some clothes." And Elisha said, "No, I don't want anything." In fact, he refused it. The Bible said two times. He refused it. Didn't want it. Why? Because the cure was free. And just you see the same theme. The cure is free. The cure is free. Can I tell you, salvation is free. Having a home in heaven is free. Having your sins forgiven is free. There's no cost. Notice Naaman's change of heart. It says there that he told the prophet Elijah, he said, "I will no longer worship the other gods. I will worship Jehovah God only." And he said, "Even when I go in and I grab the king's hand, Ben-Hadad, when I grab the king's hand of Syria and we go into this false idol, Remenon, when I go in there," he said, "I may be bowing before that idol, but on the inside I am not." In fact, he said, "Lord, forgive me for having to do that." Because had he not go in and worship the idol with his king, he would have died. So there was some compromise there. But his heart was right. I'm glad when I got saved, there was a change of heart. I became a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I got saved, there was a different want to. A different want to. The things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I'm thankful for that change that happened to me when I was 6 years old. I'm so thankful that not only do I have the privilege of going to heaven someday as a saved, born again believer, but God has blessed my life now. See, we don't have to wait to go to heaven to receive all the blessings of salvation. We get to receive them now. Life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying life, something's missing. I'm not saying whether you're happy or not. Happy is based upon happenstance and what happens to us daily. But we can continually have joy in our hearts. Listen, are you experiencing joy? Naaman, no doubt, was joyful. No doubt, when he got back to Syria, people asked the question, "How did you get healed? And how did the change happen? How did this happen?" And no doubt, Naaman told them, the prophet Elisha. And Naaman got to be a great witness for the Lord. Let me tell you, Christian, listen, what happened to you? There was a great change that happened to you. Shouldn't you tell somebody else? Shouldn't you let somebody know? Others would ask. We need to be the witness. Naaman was in a condition of helplessness. No cure for leprosy. But hope was found. And that hope was found in the Lord. Naaman's pride almost got in the way. Sometimes those who would not be saved and those who would not come to Christ, pride gets in the way. Can I just challenge you this morning? Don't let pride get in the way. Just because he doesn't save it the way you think he ought to save, God does it his own way. Jesus Christ mentions Elisha in the New Testament. He mentions this Naaman the prophet. He says in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. Notice this, I'm done. Many lepers in Israel, state this again, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. These were Jesus' own words. He said this, he said, listen, he said, in the time of Naaman, there were many who had leprosy, but only one was cured, and that was Naaman. If you read the context of the chapter, which he's coming into Nazareth, and he says to them, he preaches to them, and then they reject him. He said, and they rejected Elisha as well. And because of it, many of them suffered in leprosy. Listen, you don't have to suffer this morning. You can come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus for salvation. Come to Jesus for hope. Come to Jesus for eternal life. Christian, this morning, sometimes God doesn't do it our way. Remember, his ways are not our ways. Let's all stand. We're going to sing hymn 167, Just As I Am. Lord, touch your heart. You come this morning after we pray. Lord, we thank you for this story in the Old Testament, the historical account of Naaman, the captain of the Syrians. I pray this morning that we as Christians would continue to be a witness of the great change you've made in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as personal Savior, I pray they get saved today. I pray they come for the sin cure, and it's, Lord, it's so simple, we know that. And Lord, I pray they wouldn't make it so complicated. Lord, that you would draw them to you. I pray this morning you give them courage to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name.